Morning. I do greet you in the name of Jesus and bring greetings to you from Muddy Creek Congregation, Hope Fellowship there in Five Pointville, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County. With me this holiday weekend is my wife and five of our living children, the two youngest, Tiana and Austin. Look forward to spending the day with you and getting to know you better. A little bit about myself. I'm a cousin to Nelson's father, and our mothers were sisters, or are sisters. I'm a full-time employee at Good Store, but my calling in life is a fisherman, or I should say maybe a fisher of men. And I hope that's all of our calling, is to be fishers of men. I was not assigned a topic this morning, so as I considered what to bring, the holiday today kind of led me to this message. The holiday today, in a lot of ways, is one of the holidays that affects our life the most, our day-to-day life. Especially as a Christian, it gets far less attention than Christmas or Easter or Good Friday. And I'm not trying to downplay the importance of Christ's birth and the work of the cross or his resurrection. They are very important in our lives. But in a lot of ways, they were all leading up to the events of today. Now, I'm not talking about Memorial Day. In case you think I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the federal holiday that's probably on our minds. I'm talking about Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit changed life for mankind ever after. He was born that he could die. He died that he could be resurrected. He resurrected so he could ascend. He ascended so the Holy Spirit could come. In John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. These are words of Jesus. I'm going to tell you the truth. Well, Jesus always tells you the truth, but he's saying, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or it's necessary. It's important. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So he needed to ascend, and I can't explain why the ascension needed to happen, why the Holy Spirit and Jesus couldn't be here, but Jesus' word says, it's needful that I ascend, that I go away, so the Holy Spirit can come and be your comforter. You, like me, may at times find yourself forgetting about this important holiday of Pentecost. It goes, maybe it comes and goes, and you didn't even think about it. And the importance that it played in the way it affected mankind. The purpose of this morning's message is to remind us of the power of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit. My guess is that you did think about Memorial Day. Maybe you had awful work, or maybe you have plans to spend a special outing with your family. I want you to just stop and think about that for a bit. How can this be? How can this be that we remember the national holiday of people that died fighting for a cause that they believed in? But we forget God sending his Holy Spirit, and the years of prophecy that people were looking forward to this day, the prophecies and the longing for years and years for this event. And then when it happens, years later, as Christians, we forget about it. And I say, well, I think we should take warning of that. Take warning that we are influenced by our culture. We might think, well, we're not. I mean, we're set on a path, and culture around us is not influencing us. But it is. It does influence us. It's because we remember Memorial Day because our culture is talking about it. You see it around us. What do you think if Christmas wasn't commercialized? Would we remember to stop and remember Christ's birth? You might find it interesting to hear some of the writings about Christian holidays in the Constitution of the Holy Apostles in the church letters. Volume 7 of the Anti-Nicaea writings, and these were written around 300 to 325 AD. So just in the early parts of the church, they wrote about these holidays. Just we're going to read a paragraph here. It said, let the slaves, this is in relation about which days servants are not to work. Which days are people, their masters, to give their servants or their employees off for work. Let the slaves work 5 days, but on the Sabbath day and the Lord's day, let them have leisure to go to church and for instruction of piety. We have said that the Sabbath is on the account of the creation and the Lord's day on the resurrection, saying, remember the Sabbath because of the creation and remember the Lord's day because of the resurrection. Let the slaves rest from their work all the great week and that which follows it. And the great week is that Passion Week. For the one is a memory of the passion and the other of the resurrection. And there is need that they should be instructed. Who is it that suffered and rose again? And who it is permitted him to suffer and to raise him up again? Let them have rest from their work on ascension, because it was the conclusion of the deposition of Christ. And let them rest on Pentecost, because it is of the coming of the Holy Spirit, which are given to those that believe in Christ. Let them rest on the festival of his birth, because on it the unexpected favor was granted to man, that Jesus Christ, the Logos of God, shall be born of Virgin Mary for the salvation of the world. So here we can kind of see the principle maybe of a 5-day work week, saying take time to remember, take time to commemorate these happenings. A burden sometimes as Christians, we remember the national holidays, the 4th of July, Memorial Day, while Ascension and Pentecost go past without notice. So this morning, this message is to kind of just emphasize the power of the Pentecost and bring our attention to what happened and how that affects your life today in so many ways. I don't think we can imagine what life would be like without the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit to guide us, to prompt us, to bring us guilt when we've sinned, to bring us to Christ, to direct us, to comfort us, and give us courage to swim in a direction that's opposite of our society. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Pentecost and maybe just a little bit of background, but then most of all is how do we reap the power of Pentecost? And we're going to pick out just a couple areas of life that we depend on the Holy Spirit to give us that power to go through. A little bit of the history of Pentecost. Pentecost, in the Old Testament, it was a Jewish feast. Now, the Jews did not call it Pentecost. Pentecost is a Greek term. It's a Greek word that means 50th. The Jews called it the Feast of Harvest. They had two names for it. If you look in the Bible, they call it the Feast of Harvest or also the Feast of the Week of Weeks. And it's mentioned five times in the first five books of the Bible, in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Well, in Palestine, they had two harvests. They had a spring harvest, and they had a fall harvest. The early harvest was in May, June, was the first cutting, and then the final harvest in the fall. Well, Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, was a celebration that celebrated the first wheat harvest. So it was the first wheat harvest. And then this was followed later in the year by Passover and the Feast of the First of Fruits. First of Fruits was a celebration of the first, the beginning of the barley harvest, which was a little bit later. Pentecost is not always the same day. And it's still in our calendars today. It's not a fixed day. May 28th is not always Pentecost. It goes depending. And the way they figure out where it is the Passover and the Feast of First Fruits were before Pentecost. Sorry, I said that wrong. I think I said it. They were after. They followed. So the way they found Pentecost is they count from the feast of the first of fruits. 50 days after that was the Feast of Weeks, or Feast of Weeks. And if you take a week of 7 days and times it by seven, you get about 49. Well, Pentecost is the 50th day. So that was the beginning of the feast. And that's why they called it the Week of Weeks. It was 7 weeks, seven of seven sevens. Of course, the Greek name today, Pentecost, is a Greek word for 50th, or the 50th day. A couple of things that we should understand about this to understand, is to give us a better understanding of Acts 2 when we read it. This was a pilgrimage festival, meaning that people traveled to Jerusalem. They came from the surrounding towns and they moved in. They traveled to Jerusalem, especially the men. Pentecost was a holiday. Things were closed. People disrupted their normal activities. School was out. It was a time of festivities. There was a certain amount of celebration and sacrifices and offerings, which the law prescribed, and you can look at them in the law. But the high priest, one of them was the high priest, would take two loaves of bread of the wheat harvest and freshly baked bread and offer them to the Lord. Now, if you just imagine with me, Jerusalem is full of people. There's a great celebration. It's a holiday. There's probably the streets are clogged. There's no room for parking. No room to park your donkey. And people have traveled in there. The rooms to sleep were full. This is the setting as we go into Acts 2. And you can turn to Acts 2 or Acts 1. Actually, a couple verses in Acts 1. I want to pick up reading a couple verses about 10 days before Pentecost, when the disciples were gathered together in Jerusalem. They were gathered together for this festival, the Week of Weeks. And I think the festival ran for at least a week, and maybe I don't know exactly the amount of, it was a week or 2 weeks. So this was 10 days before the coming of the Holy Spirit that the disciples were gathered together. They were in Jerusalem for this festival. And verse 6, when they were therefore all come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So they had in their mind that, okay, the Jerusalem is gathered together, and they're asking Jesus, is this the time that you're going to announce your kingdom and you're going to take over? And Jesus' response was, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in my own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and into Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye had seen him go into heaven. So there we see the, as they were gathering together, the ascension. And Jesus left them with the commandments there to wait and then go. And we're going to look at that just a little bit later. But now if you go to Acts 2, the first 8 verses, this is 10 days later. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so they were there in preparation for Pentecost, but now Pentecost is fully come. And they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloves of cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under the heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue? Wherein we were born. Now here we see the coming of the Holy Spirit. And right away the people thought, well, are these men drunk? What? Verse 15, we didn't read that, but they started questioning, what's up with these men? They would drop down and continue reading at 14. And they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity and falleth headlong. He bursts asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gush out. So he goes on to this powerful message, and people were touched. They heard it in their own language. And right away they said, well, something is strange about this. Something is different. These men are under the influence. Well, I've saw men under the influence of alcohol, and they don't speak clearly. They don't communicate clearly. Right away, they first thought that they were drunk. Well, no, they weren't drunk, but they were under the influence. They were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He preached Jesus. Drop down to verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all witnessed. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Know that this Jesus that ye crucified is Lord and Christ. He sent his Holy Spirit back to live within, in those that follow him. If we drop down to verse 37, we see their response. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Knowing what we know now, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise that is in you and to your children, the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came among them upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all things were common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man that had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and brake bread from the house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as shall be saved. So why is Pentecost important today? We see that there, this first Pentecost, or the first time of the Holy Spirit coming, these events here in Acts, that it was the beginning of the church. It was the first time that Christians came together and it was the beginning of the church. It was a celebration of the harvest of the Spirit. So we think about what it means to us today. It's today that we reap this power of Pentecost. It's the power that allows us to be a witness for Christ. It's the ability to be transformed. Just like we need a physical harvest to keep us alive. If you don't have a harvest year after year, we starve. We also need to reap the spiritual harvest to keep a spiritual life. If we think about as a witness, the power that we get from the Holy Spirit to be a witness. We can't afford to stop seeking that power. We can't do it on our own. We can't bring forth and be a witness of something that we don't possess. James 3 says that a fountain can't send forth from the same place sweet and bitter water. It's either one or the other. It's basically what's inside is what needs to come out. So if we're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an outworking of what's in us. You notice before Jesus left, he gave the disciples a commandment. He said, okay, I'm going to go away, and I want you to wait. I just want you to wait here. I don't know about you, but sometimes waiting is one of the hardest things. Even waiting a half an hour or 15 minutes in a traffic jam or in a line, when you have other things to do. Now you can imagine these disciples, they traveled here to Jerusalem. They were on a mission there, and they were told, now just wait. And I imagine there was people around there, and they were on the move, and they were going, and they were doing things, and they were what? Their leader just descended, disappeared. While they were talking to him, they were there talking to him, and while they were talking to him and getting some of these instructions, he was gone. And what do they look back, and they say, well, he told us to wait. I can only imagine for myself, if I was there, we wait one day, and you think, well, are you sure I heard right? We'll give it another day. And you wait another day, and, well, 2 days is about enough. We can maybe do another one. Well, this one stretched out for 10 days, and that they waited there. But then the other commandment that he gave, he said, after you receive the Holy Spirit, then go. Go, because you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come unto you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's our commandment today. If we receive the Holy Spirit, now our job is to go. Go, be a witness. So what changed? What gained the power of the... Well, it comes back. It's the Holy Spirit. It's what was within them. There's a story of a lady that took her watch to the jeweler to get fixed because it wasn't working. She gave it there, and he took it back in the back room and came out. And she was surprised that he had it, said that it was working so quickly, that he fixed it so quickly. And the jeweler said, well, he just replaced the battery. And she said, a battery? Nobody told me about a battery. I've been winding this watch for the last 2 years. I didn't know it has a battery. You know, as Christians, if we try to witness on our own, if we just wind ourselves up and try to go out there and be a witness and don't have the working of the Holy Spirit within us, it's to vain. We need that power within that keeps us ticking. He wants us to complete our task with his power. That's why he told the disciples, he said, wait here until I give you the power, till the power comes, and then go. Don't go till I go with you. That second part of going. 1 Corinthians 2. Paul writes about his preaching in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For us to go and be a witness, it's not in our words. It's not in words of enticing men. It's not in men's wisdom that we're going to be a good witness for Christ. It's in the power and the Spirit. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, our message of the gospel is weak and empty. 2 Timothy 3 talks about this. It talks about in the latter times that there will be some in the church that have the form of godliness, but they lack the power. If our witnessing is from us winding ourselves up, that's what we might come out and we might have a form of godliness, but the power is going to be lost. It's not going to be there. As a church, so we think about as a witness now, how do we reap the power of the Holy Spirit? Spirit or the power of Pentecost as a church at large. Turn here to Acts 2, verse 1. We read these verses. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord, in one place. Suddenly there came the sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they sat. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And it goes on to say that as they spoke in tongues. Why was there a symbol of fire that fell upon those that received the Holy Ghost? It says there was a tongue as a fire. As I think about that, fire is a symbol of fire transforms. The other evening we were sitting and watching the campfire, and it's just always it's kind of amazing that you can take a solid something solid like wood, and you put it in the fire, and after a while it brings changes it and it transforms it. And in the end, it's gone. Where did it go? Well, it turned into energy. It turned into, it's a little bit of ash, but it turned into heat and energy. Fire is a sign of transformation. It brings changes to the things it touches. And you can think about a house fire or a forest fire. When a fire touches it, it's changed. You can't roll it back. You can't bring it back after a fire works its way through. Same way with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings transformation into lives. Here you have a group of people that were fishermen. They were former prostitutes. They were ex-religious leaders, tax collectors, various members of Jesus' family and other disciples. And they were all gathered together in this room. 120 of them. And they were all transformed and came together and formed what? The church. Before Pentecost, the disciples were scared. They lacked faith. They were trying to be the greatest. It was just a little bit before this that some of the disciples ran, "Who's the greatest of us?" And then you have this events here in the Holy Spirit. And let's look at them after Pentecost. After Pentecost, they were all united. They were together. They were willing to sell their personal possessions for the benefit of the others. They were welded and knitted together. What did it take? Well, it took the power or the fire, the transformation work of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you want to take two pieces of metal and you want to put them together, you could pound on them. You can put them together and you can pound on them probably all day and there'll still be two pieces of metal. But you put them in the fire and watch the work of a blacksmith. He puts them in the fire and heats them up and then puts them together. And when he's done, they're blended, not to be separated. And I think that's why we see the symbol of fire. There was never a program that had such a dramatic transformation in human life. There's not, even today, there's not a program that can transform somebody like the work of the Holy Spirit. That should give us, that should be an encouragement to us. As we think about people, as bad as they are, as evil as they are, that the Holy Spirit can transform them. Think of Saul or Paul and his zeal that he had to persecute and to eliminate the church. But he was touched by Jesus. And that same zeal, that same power then came through to build the church. I believe that the body of Christ or the church is made up of transformed people. Thirdly, let's consider what reaping the power of the Pentecost means for his children or us as his children in a personal sense. 1 Corinthians 6:19, verse 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The one principle of hell says, you are your own. You're your own man. You can decide for yourself what you want to do. But if we look here at Paul's words, he says, what? Remember, know ye not? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought, and the Holy Ghost dwells within you. Pentecost serves us as a reminder that we are not our own. We're Christ. We belong to him. We've been bought. And that clove of tongues like a fire that sat on them. It says in Luke that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I found it interesting as I looked about throughout the Old Testament. There was a couple other times that fire came down and dwelt among a place. And we'll find it in the dedication of the tabernacle in Leviticus. When Moses dedicated the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was where God dwelt there in the ark, where the ark dwelt and God dwelt in the ark. It was God's dwelling place. Leviticus 9:24 says, "There came out fire from before God and consumed in the altar and the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." So at the dedication of the tabernacle, it was God's symbol, sent fire. Then if we fast forward to Solomon's day when he dedicated the temple, there again he gathered all the people together for this dedication. And what happened? Fire came down. 2 Chronicles 7, "And now when Solomon had made all the end of praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." I think in both these cases, it was an indication to the people that God accepted his dwelling place. This was God's dwelling place in the tabernacle, and then later in the temple. And then here at Pentecost, it signifies again that God no longer dwells in the temple or in the tabernacle or in the temple, but he dwells in flesh, in your heart. A tabernacle made of flesh. And when the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Supernatural fire from heaven. "Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" At Pentecost, individual believers had fire come down on them to signify that God's Spirit dwelt in them. Very fitting. So we look about the history of God's dwelling place and the dedication there in the Old Testament. It says they were all amazed and marveled. We are not alone. Personally, this means as we go throughout life that we are not alone. I said waiting can be hard, and waiting can be hard, but you know, going can be hard too. Going into, say, the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, what are we going to meet there? Last evening, we were talking about sometimes the people that live in the city and they come out of the city are scared of the country because it's dark and they don't know what's there. But if we think about it in our own lives, we are kind of scared of the uncommon stuff in our lives too. Frankly, going to the city at night kind of scares me. Yeah, I don't know what to expect. Well, in this going, God says, "I'll go with you. I'll be with you." John 14, verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelt with you and shall be in you." So wherever we go, in the uttermost parts of the world, he'll go with us. That gives us the power to go. In conclusion, as we think about this power of Pentecost, as we witness the power of Pentecost in church, just coming together as a group of believers, you need the power of Pentecost because you're made up very differently. And you need that transformation to be able to fit together and work together. If we don't maintain our relationship in Christ, we lose that power. Jesus' words in John 15, verse 5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Now you notice it doesn't just say that without me you're going to be hindered. You're not going to be running at your full capacity. No, it says without him, if you're not connected to the vine, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You think about that? When you get up in the morning and you accomplish something, you might wind yourself up. But at the end of the day, do you remember that the power that you got was from the Holy Spirit? It's from that connection to the vine. Read about a story about a New Year's parade. And there was a parade and there was a float. It was a beautifully decorated float that came to a sputtering halt. They ran out of gas. But the interesting or the humorous thing about this was the float was to represent the Standard Oil Company. You know, the Standard Oil Company has vast amounts of gasoline and oil, and they ran out. So the whole parade was held up while somebody went and got gas and filled it up and got it moving along. What about you? Are you here this morning and feel like you're sputtering and you're just hanging on? You're trying to wind yourself up, but you just can't take it hardly anymore. You have the form of godliness, but there's just no joy or power or zeal. You're running out. You're broke down. I think that's message is for each of us. The events of Pentecost, these events that happened way back there in Acts 2, gives us the access to vast, vast supply of power. If we're tapped in, if we're connected to the vine, it gives us the power to be a witness for Christ. It gives us the power to come together and do church, be a church, be the bride of Christ. It gives us the power as individuals to be children of God. We're left. I want to leave you with these couple verses. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We're given that power so that we can take the gospel of Jesus Christ and begin where we're at. We don't have to go somewhere to begin. It says you begin where you're at. They were in Jerusalem. They were gathered there in Jerusalem, and they were probably going to go back to Capernaum or their home. But they were there, and he said, you begin here at Jerusalem where you're at and take it wherever you go, wherever life takes you. Brothers and sisters, go. Tell it on the mountains. The power of Jesus Christ to transform lives. Just think about if we leave today and you start here and each of us takes that gospel wherever we go. By next week, just in 1 week, we're all going to have traveled many, many different places and met many people. And if you take the power of Pentecost and show that to the people you meet, what a difference that can make in the kingdom of God. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you.